It's good to be saved, is it not? Yeah, it's good to be saved. It's good to be in church. Yeah, I'm going to only take a few minutes saying I spent most of the day in the hospital today. I was taken literally like you ever heard like de-cleated, like in football? You ever hear that expression? I was literally thrown out of my boots at work by a homogenizer blew up and I got hit on my back, 195 degree water with caustic and acid in it. But God was faithful in it. But I'm thinking, as soon as I hit the ground, the first thing I said was, Jesus. Like the first thing, you know, I was like, that's the first thing I did. And it's just good to be saved, you know. It says, he that hath the Son hath life. We heard some good thoughts tonight. That was a good portion that Pastor Larry brought out. And Matt Larkin was singing a song. It was the second one. It was Let Your Fire Fall. And there was a portion in it. And I want to talk about it tonight because I want to talk about faith. And I've been preaching on this all day, and it was in the hospital. This is how I just confirmation after confirmation. And my boss's son took me to the hospital. Now, they're Lutheran, so they're believers. They have some weird doctrine, but I truly believe he's a believer. He's just, I believe he loves the Lord personally. So I didn't know he was like this. So I got to meet his son today and actually get to have fellowship with him. So we're in the hospital and we're just talking all day. And this message happened to come out all day, and he was edified. I was edified, and it was an amazing day. So it was, it's kind of been going on. But back to what I was saying, you said, let your fire fall. And it said something about it. It said, I think it was about God replenishes his fire. You know, it's his fire. And, thinking about what the Lord Jesus Christ would talk about, he would say something along the lines of, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, right, you'd say to this mountain here, jump into the river or into the ocean or into the sea, and it shall happen. And I just found this out recently, that a mustard seed is not only the smallest of all seeds, but it cannot be crossbred. It's pure. It's absolutely, you can't, I mean, they can, GMOs, they can actually make a new splice of mustard, but you can't cross a pure mustard seed with any other seed. And I'm thinking about when he used that for an expression of faith, because faith is something we don't have. There's not a single person in this room that has faith that the Lord Jesus had. For the sake of tonight's, is Valerie here right now or no? Probably not. Okay, so open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to try to be cut some stuff out. We'll be quick with this. First of all, Father, I thank you. Lord, I pray for the gift of preaching and teaching, Lord, that most importantly, what you would have for us to hear together corporately, Lord, that we would be edified, that we would hear from you, God, and that out of this, Lord, that we would truly hear from the Spirit, and that we would be able to experience that Zoe, that eternal life, Lord, that abundant life that you came to give, God, and that we could walk in it and others may see it. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 2 is a very familiar verse in 2:8, I believe. It says that we are saved by grace. Hold on, let me get there. I'm sorry. Oh, Valerie, for the sake of tonight, can I use the authorized version, the King James? Thank you. So, all right, so for by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And I've never seen this before, but when you look at this scripture, what is really the gift of God? It's faith. And I was thinking about that. And if I can use Abraham as an example, because there's no other person I could think of that we could use as the father of faith. Abraham was called from the land of Chaldeans. He was from Syria, we believe, right? And God had called Abraham. And in Hebrews 11, he's mentioned as part of the faith heroes. And you see that there's three things that I want to talk about that faith does, because this right here is something that we can't reproduce. We can't make this up. There's all different types of faith. There's mental assent faith. There's misguided zeal faith. There's our faith, right? We put faith every single day. Every single one of us right now is sitting in a chair believing it's not going to fall to the ground. And it's happened before, to me at least. We put faith that our car's going to start. We put faith that we're going to get a paycheck at the end of the week for us to work. But this kind of faith is something we can't reproduce. This type of faith is the faith that Jesus Christ came, who is the author and finisher of the faith. Yeah. So, I was just thinking about that. He literally started it from his walk and finished it on that cross. And it is that faith that saves us. So, faith saves us. And I want to talk about the second thing about justification. Faith justifies us as well. And can you put up, please, Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 16. And I'm going to open up to Genesis really quick because I want to look at this. And I apologize. I had a message, but it was really long, and I really feel this has been on my heart because I believe at the end of the day, this is what God is really pleased with. It says that it's impossible to please God without faith. And it says we must first come to him and believe that he is and that he's a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. And when you think about that, he didn't just stop at believe who he is. And, you know, with the faith of God, and I like what Pastor Larry had brought out about that testimony of that woman. He was talking about how this woman received Christ at an early age in her life. But the actual surrender, a real fruit of that conversion, wasn't really shown until later on in her life. And I was saved at the age of, 20, it's like 5 years ago. And when I was saved, I wasn't like, I didn't arrive by any means, but, I was thrown in jail. And it was in jail that I made that commitment to just, this is it. All to Jesus I surrender. Where else am I going to go? I have no other life other than this. This is it. This is all I have. And I just had such a desire to know him, And I believe that's a gift of God. I believe that's faith working in me, but we can allow it. And that's where the true blessing comes from. I think the true worship that God is seeking is those who seek him in spirit, because God is a spirit, and in truth, in Bible doctrine, and what his word says, because faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we went, and I think the only way for us to truly understand and experience that is through experiential knowledge, walking with God in the truth and what he's given us. We're all been given a measure of faith in Romans. So every single one of us has been given enough faith not only to save us, to keep us, right, but to justify us. That's what this says. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And I the other day I was talking to Mark about this, to think about that it's not our faith that justifies us. You know, there are some Bibles, and I'm not going to get into this, that will say the faith in Jesus, but that's not really what it's saying. Because we put our faith, little bit that we had, into Christ, right? When we asked and prayed to receive him. But at that moment we received him, we received his faith, right? So when it's not, I believed on Jesus, so I'm justified. No, it's the faith of Jesus Christ that justifies me. I'm just curious. Isaiah 53, and what I'm saying about this, it's the relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ had with his Father. Isaiah 53 says that he, the Father, shall see the trivial of his soul as he makes, he's saying how his soul becomes an offering to God, and it pleased him. It appeased the wrath of God the Father. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. Wow. The word there is deah in Elo. It means to ex. It's like the yada, like when Adam knew Eve, like very intimate, and not to be on a sexual thing, but it's the most intimate knowing you can have in the Hebrew. No man knows the Father save the Son, and no one knows the Son save the Father, and whom the Spirit will reveal. The Trinity is what saves us, and we can't save ourselves. So, and I'm the reason why I'm talking about this, because I know I hear this from so many people that say, you know, I have faith in Jesus. I, oh God, I keep the faith. No, you can't keep the faith. It's not your faith. If you're born again, it's in you, but then it's experiencing it, right? And I think, as Pastor Larry was saying, this woman, as soon as you put faith in Jesus Christ, you have all you need. You have every spiritual blessings that are in the Lord Jesus. You have everything. It's there. That mustard seed's inside of you. It's pure. And you can't mix nothing with it except the word and obedience. That's it. And it will grow. And when it grows, it could grow to be the tallest plant in all of the field where the birds of heaven can come lay their nest on. And that is what Jesus is talking about, the eternal life. You cannot mix. I think there's a scripture that says, have not unfeigned faith. In the King James, it means like a, like feign, I think that's what it is, or it's used in the sense of type of like when people do sculptures, when they make mistakes, right? I don't know, they would use this putty to fill in the holes and the cracks. But at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to remain is the faith that he's given us. That's what he's given, a measure to everyone, and what we've done with it is going to be what he's looking at. And it's that faith is the key to unlock everything when it comes to our relationship with God. So I guess what I'm trying to really get to here with the 10 minutes that I have is faith. It saves us. It is not ours. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. He comes to us, the light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. It comes to the heart of man, and what we do with that light is on us. We receive it. When we receive it, we're justified. It said Abraham believed God, and he accounted to him righteousness. At that moment that you place that little bit of faith you have in Jesus Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise till the day of judgment. Did I get that wrong? It's redemption. I had to use that today for somebody who thought he could lose his salvation. Now just bear with me for 1 second. So faith saves us, right? Faith also justifies us, not our faith, right? And faith does the third thing. Faith sanctifies us. So if you could turn with me to Acts, I'm just going to touch on it really quick. Acts 26. We'll start at verse 14 for the context. Paul's giving his testimony here about when he was converted. It says, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And I always think about that scripture, just so you know. God takes it very serious how we treat one another. He taught me that the hard way. I don't know, you guys know anything about chastisement? Yep. Listen, we can go through our Christian walk, and I've realized this, we can go through our Christian walk being very apathetic. You guys know what that word means, apathetic? I had to look it up in a dictionary because I'm very ignorant. Very content with the things that are surrounding us. The early church fathers used it as a sense of like, okay, you know, when, you know, you think about the sower of the seeds, it says the one that was choked out by the cares, but it also said by the riches too. It's not only the bad stuff, but it's also the good stuff that can choke us out, right? The TV, the good paychecks, right? All these things that we have today at the fingertips all day long, right? But when it comes to how you treat your brother and sister in the Lord, he takes that serious. When did Paul persecute Jesus? You think about that. Just ponder. He that was the rhema that he gave me. He says, "Why persecuteth me?" Be careful how you treat your brother and sister. So, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and the things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from Gentiles to whom I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me." You see that? It's his faith that sanctifies us. When Abraham received from God, now three things, I only got 5 minutes. We receive the word, right? Or faith through the word. So faith comes by hearing by watching TV, right? The second thing we do, we believe the word. You must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. The third thing I want to talk about is you must obey it. And that's walking in the light of what God's shown you. Now listen, this Bible here, my big Thompson chain reference, which I love. This Bible, right, there's a lot of stuff in here. I've read this Bible front to cover many times. I love the word of God. Do I understand it? Absolutely no. Sometimes I read stuff, I get so frustrated, I shut it and walk away. I just can't even deal with it. Because I just got to know things, and that's my problem. I know everything. but what God has shown us, he's going to hold us accountable to. What light he's given us, we're going to be held accountable to that light one day. And that's what's important. And when we obey that, that's when we get more light. So many times I'm like, I want more. He's like, there's this thing right here. Love your brother. I don't want to, but I can in him, right? So we must receive, right? Read the Bible, come to church, receive from the pulpit. We must believe. Abraham believed and it was accounted for him righteousness. But then there's one more thing. And if I have time, if you go to Genesis chapter 21. I'm going to speed preach. Let's get it. So, I believe it's 21. Nope, 22. I made a mistake. Won't be the first. So, we'll go to... verse 3. So, Abraham, just mind you for the context, Abraham has been receiving from God, right? Abraham believed God. So Abraham has been saved. The grace of God drawed Abraham out of a land. He believed God, and it was accounted for him righteousness. Now, he is saved before the eyes of God. He believed him, and he says, that's it. You pleased me. You know, you believed. You believed. I spoke. Remember, the word of God wasn't written back in this time. The word of God came to him, and he received it by faith. He received it. He believed what God told him. But it did something more than just believing. I think so many times that we as Christians have this pearl, this precious pearl of faith, and we so, and I'm just talking about myself here. I'm not sitting here trying to preach at you, but I'm just saying this is the truth, and I think with many of us, this is what happens. We have it, but then we, what did Paul say? You guys started in the spirit, but now you end in the flesh. So many times we just, it becomes nothing more than a mental ascent. I know. But we're not really experiencing what we have. And Abraham is the father of faith because of this. We see this when he's called to bring his only son that he's promised is going to be the seed and the heir of the nations, that the Messiah is going to come through it. The same promise that he believed God, and God was pleased with this, right? And we see here in verse 3, it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took, yes, it says it in the King James Bible. It just means donkey, all right? And took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and the clave of the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, abide here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Do you know that's the first time we see the word worship in the Bible? That's called first mention. Real biblical worship is faith obedience. Not obedience in the flesh, like we got to do, I got to do something. No, it's faith obedience. The faith that God's given us, obeying and walking in the light of what he's shown us. You see, we all have a decision at any moment of the day. There could be something that happens to us, right? And we have a moment. And I'm sure anyone in here that's been walking with God, I'm only 5 years old. Still wet and burnt behind the ear. Anyone that's walking with God knows immediately something that comes and takes you out of your comfort zone, you have a decision to make. And it's believe the word of God or react in the flesh, right? And we see this. He says, I want you to go offer your only son, thou whom you lovest, right? First time we see love too, the love of the Father and the Son. It's what God really loves, the fact that he can place his son in us. Because today we live in a generation that's so in love with themselves, right? They shall be lovers of their own selves. No, God loves us, but what he loves is the fact that he could place Christ in you. That's what he loves. Remember that. He does love us. He did save us, and he died for every single sin of the entire world. But ultimately, we just got to take the Bible for what it says sometimes. But Abraham made a decision at this moment. Instead of panicking, instead of getting in his flesh and saying, no, there's another way, God, any other way. No, he obeyed God and worshiped and believed the word to the point where he says, if he dies, he'll resurrect. You know, I was just thinking about that today. That's where the blessing comes. That's when we experience that life, that trade. We trade. We lay down our desires, our will, everything. In that moment, we experience that resurrection life and the fruit of it. And it's amazing, right? You know, Jesus said this really quick, Matthew chapter 7. He just gets done with the Sermon on the Mount. Powerful sermon, by the way. If any preacher I ever know can preach, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So chapter 7, at the end of chapter 7, right? 24, he said, therefore, whosoever heareth... are we there? All right. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken unto a wise man, which buildeth his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not, he shall be like unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and how great was the fall of it. You see, Jesus is saying the same thing here. Now, he's not talking about your salvation here, all right? He's saying, those that apply obedience to the light that I've given you, I will liken to him that a man built his house upon the rock. The storms never change. This world, tribulation, he promised it. He even promised, you want to live in the spirit, you're going to get persecuted. Now, thank God we don't have the persecution that our brothers and sisters are facing all throughout this world. We are privileged in this country. We have so many Bibles. We have so much time. We have so many churches. We have amazing pastors, men of God. We have, you name it, freedom. I could preach at my job all day long. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing. You know, but it's, you know, he didn't promise us a good, but he did promise one thing. He promised peace. He promised us life. To him that hath, more shall be given. To him that hath not, to him which even he thinks he hath shall be taken. You come to God with a teaspoon, he'll fill it. If you come to God with a garbage can, how much of the Lord do you want? You know, I don't know about you, but I want all I can get while I'm on this earth. I want to be so obedient. And I can hear Paul saying that it's garbage. I just want to know him. I want to know. I don't care what they think about me. I love you people. And I believe for the best that you're all my brothers and sisters. Pray for you. And there's times that I get in my flesh. I love you people. But I don't care what you think about me. I mean, I don't want to offend you. But at the end of the day, I got smacked on my back at 195 degree water. The first thing I cried out was Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. And it's good to know, not only we're saved, but it's good to know who our Lord is. And it's good to know him. It's good to know him. You know, I think that's so important that we would just know him and we would walk in the light that he's given us and just be content with that, you know. And when we do that, that attracts people. Something supernatural will happen when that happens. People will see, we're not like the other people. We don't care what they think. They care. They listen to us. Wow, you know, he's patient. He's long-suffering, right? And then they'll give you the opportunity to speak. Father, I thank you. For your word. Thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your son, Lord. And I just pray that you would use this message, Lord. Work it in me. As soon as I preach it, I'll be held accountable to it. And you've proven this time and time. But most importantly, Lord, I pray for every soul in this room, Lord. Father, that you would continue to work in them. What you've started, you will complete, Lord. I pray for our families, Lord, that we would truly be that priesthood, that we would really intercede for our family. We would believe in our prayers, Lord, and that we would act upon what you tell us, Lord. and thank you for tonight. Continue to bless this pulpit, bless our pastor, all the elders, Lord, and have us get home safe tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.